Ai, maar is lekker om saam te kuier hier op die senders van Radio Kansel en Kaapse Kansel. Ek vertrou dit gaan met jou sommer klop Disselboom. Spreekwoorde is al mooi, nee. Klop Disselboom. En 'n klomp ander spreekwoorde, man, dit is maanskyn en rose. Nou ja, die liewe van gelowige is nie altyd eenvoudig nie, maar te midde van dit alles weet ons dat die Here in beheer is, dat hy op die troon is en dat elke haar op ons hoop getel is ensovoorts ensovoorts. So ek is so bly dat jy saam kuier in hierdie uitsending van 'n naweek aktueel en ek is absoluut daarvan oortuig dat dit wat ons in hierdie program met jou gaan deel, jou gaan raak. Wanneer ek praat oor hierdie spesifieke persoon en met hierdie bepaalde persoon en die dinge waarmee hy besig is, dan het dit altyd die Suid-Afrikaanse Christene reg oor Suid-Afrika gaande. So ek gaan weldra vir hom aan jou voorstel. Baie dankie aan Zani wat vir ons help in die tegniese versorging van hierdie program en onthou dat die program ook beskikbaar sal wees as 'n potgooi by www.radiokansel.co.za en ook ons woensdag in aktualiteitsprogram in naam van Perspektief eweens by Radio Kansel se webwerf en jy gaan soek net vir Perspektief en daar kan jy die potgooi raakloop. So bly asseblief ingeskakel. Ons gaan lekker saam kuier.
It's a wonderful privilege to speak to Uncle Angus Buckham. I don't have to introduce him. He's a well-known figure in South Africa, a prophet, a preacher, a writer, many other things, and also somebody that has been graced by God with good health and energy. And I was going to ask you, Uncle Angus, welcome. Thank you for being available. But I think many people ask you that question, when are you going to retire?
Well, Dr. Yanni Pelser, you know as well as I that there is no such word in the Bible. There is promotion, but no retirement.
I thought you'll be ready with an answer, but I was going to ask in any event. And Uncle Angus, ek is sommer net Jannie, I wish I was a doctor, but I'm not a doctor, but I'm Jannie and a dominee sometimes. But it's nice just to be able to interact with you. Well, if you're not going to retire, please tell us about the energy, because you're always doing something new. I mean, you just think, okay, what's happened to Uncle Angus? And then there's a new initiative. Energy, where does that come from? Perhaps it's a special diet, or is it the wife, or is it the area, the environment, the fresh air, the horses? And I know that you can spiritualize this, but let's leave that for a moment. We understand Jesus gives you the strength, but you must really live a very healthy lifestyle.
Well, I do, Yanni. I do, actually. I'm one guy said, you are the most Afrikaner that he's ever met that can't speak Afrikaans. And, you know, I now have got two horses of my own. We have many horses on the farm. My young son breeds American quarter horses, you know, for cutting cattle and for team penning, etc. So I've got two horses. I've got Snowy. He's a very famous horse. The children love him. Then I've got a new acquisition that came from the Eastern Cape. His name is Tyson. He's a cross Persian on Boerperd. Very quiet temperament. So I ride horses. I also ride the mountain bike. Try and ride as often as I can. And I'm also a beekeeper. I love keeping bees, Yanni. I find they're very therapeutic. I love bees. I can sit and look at bees working all day long. They are incredible little insects, you know. Yeah. That's why any guy who doesn't believe in the word of God and in God's creation, they must go and sit by a honey hive. Yeah. A beehive, and see the bees working, and they will know that Charles Darwin didn't get it right.
Now, Uncle Angus, there is an event planned for the 24th of September. The background to this particular event, something like this doesn't just fall from the sky. Where did it all happen? No. How did it all come together?
Yeah. Right. Good question there, Yanni. It doesn't just happen, and I don't just go anywhere where I get an invitation. In fact, one morning I was sitting with my two ladies in the office and we were going through the invitations and I was being very strict because I've got a lot on my plate at the moment with social media and television.
Correct.
And so we were just saying we can't do it this year, we can't do it this year. Then this letter came up and it broke my heart, Yanni. It really, really got tears in my eyes. A young lady from Krugersdorp, she says she's a boer meisie. Her name is Yolanda.
Yes.
She also works with horses, with people who have got, you know, problems with depression, etc. And she uses horses, which I think is a fantastic medium because horses are so good for people. Anyway, yes. She wrote me this letter and she just said there, "Dear Oom Angus," and she said it three times, Jenny, "please, please, please come to Krugersdorp." She said, "We have been given the name Devil's Dorp." Now, when I heard that, Jenny, I got very sad and very angry, actually, because I love Jesus like you do, Jenny. And when people mock God, I'm not happy at all. And she said that there is a spirit of poverty in the Krugersdorp area. And this was before that those eight girls were raped. Eh? Can you believe it?
Yes.
It was about, yeah. So, you know, the spotlight came onto Krugersdorp after that. And she said there's alcoholism, drug addiction, prostitution, and just a spirit of poverty. There's poor whites, there's poor blacks just living in one man tents. And my heart broke for them, you know, because I've got a heart like you have, Yanni, for the poor, as Jesus had. And so I prayed about it, and I said to Yolanda, "We're coming." So she came down here with her husband. He's a lovely guy. Their whole team. And I asked them one question. I said, "Who's going to handle this? Is Shalom Ministries going to handle this, or are you going to handle this?" And her husband, he's a lovely man. He's an Adani. He's an ex-banker. He said, "No, you're going to handle it. We can handle it. And they will support." I said, "Fine, we're in." And that was, then just after that, all hell broke loose again in the Krugersdorp area. The Zama Zamas were getting burnt out of their houses. A couple of guys got shot. I think one guy died. This all happened straight after we accepted this invitation. Okay, to short circuit it now, Yanni, people, this is why I love South Africa. I really love this country. You know, people are so hungry for the things of God. Now, we had to name this event. Now, my wife, Jill, who's an intercessor, I think you've met her. She's a godly woman, very quietly spoken, spends a lot of time in prayer. Can you imagine if she was the same as me, Yanni? Can you imagine two of us in the same house? It would be a madhouse, man. Anyway, the Lord knew that before we got married.
Yes.
So she's a prayer warrior. And I'm the one with the big mouth and the thick skin. I've got to have both those things. That's the only two things I've got, actually.
Yeah.
And she said, "Angus, you need to call this Speak Jesus." You know, Yanni, if you look at the story of the man from the Gadarenes, remember, he had a legion of demons in it. Now, look up the dictionary. A legion is between 300 and 600. And Jesus cast them out. They went into the pigs. The pigs ran into the lake. You know that story.
Oh,
but
shit.
You see, I believe on that day, on the 24th of September, Heritage Day in South Africa, we are going to see a move of God, Yanni, like we possibly have never seen before. Now, I've shared the platform with you, Yanni, on occasion. I remember the one in Kimberley. I'll never forget it. It was beautiful. But this is going to be something different. I believe that when we speak the name of Jesus, the demons are going to flee. We won't have to touch them. We won't have to shake the people. We won't have to even go near them. There'll be too many people anyway. But I really believe with all my heart, when we speak the word of God, you see, it was a demon that recognized Jesus before anybody else, before the disciples, before anybody. Son of God, why have you come before our time? And I believe when we use that same name with the same authority and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, things like depression, fear, stress, anxiety, divorce, all those things are going to leave the people. And people are going to be set free. Yanni, at the end of the day, it's one word, my book, one word. Revival. And that's what this country needs. No revival, no future for this country. And I really mean that with all my heart. It's a desperation time, and we really need to rally the troops. I'm appealing to every man or woman, boy or girl, who loves Jesus Christ, to come to that meeting. There's no charge. We're not promoting any denomination. No church. There's not going to be any tickets sold. We're going to come together as God's people. And we're going to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people are going to be healed, set free. And we believe in for the revival fire to start. Amen?
Amen. Uncle Angus, I've had quite a number of questions, but you've almost answered all my questions in one go. So you're, as always, very wise. But I would like to ask you a question, which perhaps is a little bit more, not difficult, but more challenging in a sense, because people listen and people try to understand the move of God, the works of God, the Bible, the theology, etc., etc. And they may say, but Angus, this is not the first meeting that you've had. I'm talking about a major meeting in South Africa. There were quite a number in the area where you live. Then also, I think of Bloemfontein, for instance. The theme, if I remember correctly, was Can a Nation Be Born in a Day, something to that effect. What happens is prayer is being done and forces are bound and the blessing of God is released upon a nation. And then people may ask, but things are not changing. It's the same ever since, and it's been many, many years. As a matter of fact, it seems like, perhaps because we do not see into the unseen, but it seems like things are getting worse in South Africa, not easier in South Africa. So what is the use of having these huge meetings, saying wonderful prayers, getting people excited, they go home, and tomorrow the fuel price goes up, Eskom is at its peak again, there's no electricity, politically, economically, socially, there are just one challenge after the other. So what's the use of praying?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Yanni. And I expected you to throw something like that at me. Otherwise, you wouldn't be Yanni Pelso, would you? You'd just be an ordinary Germany. That's why I call you doctor, because you're a specialist. But Yanni, jokes aside, I can answer all your questions that you've just asked me with one scripture verse. And you know it off by heart. 2 Corinthians, okay?
7-7.
Sorry. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people, okay, that's the believer who is called by my name, will humble themselves, okay, so we're going to do it together in public, in the open, humble themselves and what? And pray. Don't have a discussion. And pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Okay, the Lord says, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and I will heal the land. Now, Yanni, what you said is 100%. It's true. It's factual, actually. But Yanni, what we must remember, my bud, is after Bloemfontein, but people forget this, you see, because I've got hammered like this, exactly the thing you're saying, so I'm glad you brought it up.
Thanks.
Oh, but Angus, what's happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. We had a change of government, didn't we? Just after that, Zuma was no longer. Just after that, the Guptas were exposed for corruption just after that prayer meeting. Just after that prayer meeting, there was a national maize crop that was doomed to fail. It is a boer. I know what I'm talking about. And it turned around, and supernaturally, we had a bumper crop. Just after that, the nuclear power station, which was deemed to make this country bankrupt, was supernaturally shelled as unconstitutional. Just after that, they started singing hymns in parliament. I was singing in parliament myself, actually, and they were praying. So to say that nothing has happened is not true. Then another thing I want to say to you, Yanni. People need an opportunity to repent. Yanni, you've been at Germany. You've packed out churches. I've heard you preach. You've got an anointing on your life. Okay? So now what you're saying, you're not saying it, but this is what the question is. So once we've done it, then it's finish and claw. No, it's not. This walk that you and I are involved in, Yanni, is a lifestyle. Okay? Are you going to tell me since you were born again, you've never made a mistake? Of course you have. There's people that have got divorced since that Bloemfontein meeting. There's people that have gotten involved in them and drugs and all kinds of things. And they want to be set free, but they don't know how to. So when we come together, that's why Jesus says, do not neglect the gathering of the brethren. There's no shortcut. Now, we are coming out of a lockdown, okay? We've been locked down for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. This will be the first major event we have in public. I had one in Hillcrest about a month ago. We had between 4,000 and 5,000 people there, and that was wonderful. But this is a big one. This is a groot one. And we are calling people from all over South Africa. Listen to me, Yanni. This morning, I've got a contact. People are coming from Yorkshire, England. They are coming to see what God's going to do in Krugersdorp on the 24th. They are coming from Brisbane, Australia. Farmers, they're coming here to see what God's going to do. Now, we've had three prophetic words, okay, in the last couple of months that there's a revival going to start in South Africa and it's going to spread right through this nation. Now, these prophetic words don't come from South Africans. They come from Americans. Now, I test these prophetic words. I don't believe every one, but these three have lined up perfectly. Now, it's got nothing to do with anything else but the Lord. The Lord says, and you know your scriptures, Yanni, you're a Dumini, man. Jeremiah 333 is Jesus' telephone number. Jeremiah 333. Call, phone, call unto me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things of which you have not seen. That's what we're going to see in Krugersdorp.
I'm so glad for giving us some markers that I think people are not always aware of, or they do not draw the lines between what is really happening or what has happened. And God has his own agenda. He's got his own timeline. We cannot force him. He does what he wants to do, but that God is working, that we know. I'm going to be on that same track for a moment, Angus, Uncle Angus. I'm just going to call you Angus, because I want you to address this and encourage people in a sense. There's a platform where this particular event has been advertised. People's response, many people's responses to this particular event, and I'm not talking about a person or the event, but it's one of discouragement. What does it help? What does it help? Everything stays the same. And this thing of just speaking a word and all of a sudden everything is right. What is the real agenda? And I know that you're an honest man and this is an honest ministry. But what I read is a despondency and an anxiety and a depression in our nation. And yes, praying is very important, but more is needed. We need something which is going to lift this nation to a place where they can once again say, but look, that's our God. He's in control and he's still able to do what he's promised in his word. But there is this spirit of negativity and pessimism amongst people.
Yeah. You know, Yanni, that is so true, Mabut. I really mean that. I get it all the time. And what really concerns me, because I'm a farmer, although I'm not actively farming, I'm farming through my boys. I mean, I'm as I'm talking to you now, I'm in my prayer room on the farm. And what really disturbs me is the amount of people that are leaving South Africa. And what worries me, Yanni, it's young people.
Yep.
It's young farmers. It's the brain drain. And they are despondent. They don't see any future in the nation.
Yes.
And they come to me with all the facts and figures. I'm talking just about agriculture, never mind anything else. You know, where this has been done and that's been done and the price of fertilizer, they can't even plant a crop anymore. And they're getting hammered for this and hammered for that. And then, of course, Yanni, we have things called farm murders. You've heard of them too. I can tell you of many right around my farm here. Okay, and I've had to pick up all the pieces, not once, not twice. And the young people are saying, my children, what future have they got in this country? By the way, I'm not talking about white people.
Yeah.
No. I'm talking about all people. I'm talking about a lot of black people that are leaving this country. Plenty. They don't see a future here. But Yanni, you know the old adage, it goes like this. In order for evil to abound, all that good people have to do is nothing.
Correct, yes.
I don't want to be one of those, you know.
No.
I don't want to be one of the 72,000 that was at Loftus Versfeld sitting in the stands and shouting at the referee and the players. But the guy's so fat, he wouldn't even be able to walk, never mind run on the field, but he's got all the answers. See? I want to be on the field, snot and trana, excuse my language, but I think that's Afrikaans, and blood and guts and making mistakes and dropping the ball, but I'm still there.
Yeah.
I'm in the fight.
Lane.
Don't put me in the stands, because when the day comes, I want Jesus to recognize me, not because I'm a good man, not because I've done a lot, but because I love him and I love people. And I will continue to preach the gospel. I will continue to encourage people to stay. I've never told one person to leave this country. Not one. Breaks my heart every time, because I've been around the world, Jenny, like you. I've had the privilege of traveling the whole world. And I want to tell you, I can never wait to get back to South Africa, because I'm a farmer and I'm a South African. And I want to tell you something now, there's no place like home. But we've got to face the music, and I'm prepared to do that. But if we're going to face the music, we must allow the Heilige Geest to do his work, and we must give him an opportunity to do his work. And how can we do that? By going there again. That's right. Getting on our knees. Look at the scriptures, man. You're there, Germany. Look what Elijah did, hey, on the mountain there. We're going to call fire down. That's right. And when the fire comes down, we'll be there. I don't want to be one of those guys in the grandstands. Oh, shucks, man. I should have gone to Krugersdorp. You know, I believe I'll be there in the front line with you.
It's easy to criticize. That's correct, Angus. And but to get on the field and become part of the team and be part of the answer, not part of the problem, that really is challenging.
There we go.
That is what God is calling us to do. And to take the yoke again and to do what God is, take the ball and start running. Nevertheless, just the last question, even though this particular event takes place in the area of Krugersdorp, it really is a national prayer meeting, so your expectancy is that people will come from all over. You've indicated that people will come from overseas, and that's wonderful, but we need the guys from South Africa to be energized and encouraged. So this invitation is for people to come all over, and from all over South Africa, not so.
Correct. Well done. Thank you very much for giving me that opportunity. This is not just about South Africa. No. This is about the world. Yanni, we are living in the last days. You'd have to be as blind as a bat if you can't see that. Everything that's been prophesied in the Word of God is happening. Now, you know, I love going to Israel, Yanni. I've been to Israel over 30 times. I've spoken at the Feast of Tabernacles down at Engedi. I've seen the rushing mighty wind. I've seen it. I've felt it. And some of your listeners were there with me. But I want to tell you that the time is up. Jesus is not coming soon. Jesus is on his way. And we need to be prepared for that. Now, my biggest concern for Krugersdorp is that people will come to meet Christ personally. That's my biggest concern. I want to see broken marriages healed. I want to see young people who have turned their back on God because they haven't seen anything. I want to see them coming back to Jesus. I want to see people who are caught in that hellish thing called alcoholism set free. I've seen it at Mighty Men, not once. By the way, that's in the next 2 months, Yanni. We're going to have 6 Mighty Men conferences in South Africa alone. I won't be at one of them. They're happening all over the world. Men are coming together. We are coming to Krugersdorp because we have an agenda. What is our agenda? Our agenda is to see revival. Now, you know, Yanni, you've studied revival like me. It's like a forest fire. It only needs one match to start a fire that will burn to the sea. You can't put it out. And I'm believing with my heart that this will be a match that can start a fire, that can set this country alight, and not only South Africa, but go north, right up to Cairo. That's my heart and America. Look at the mess America's in. I mean, look at the UK haven't even got a prime minister. I mean, that guy in America, anyway, I don't want to go there because I'm getting myself into trouble. But the bottom line is, I am believing that the Lord is going to show up like he always does, because he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Will he not do it? Has he not spoken? And will he not make it good? Numbers 23:19.
I'm going to speak to Yolandi after I've spoken to you, and she will give us more particulars regarding the exact place, etc., the preparations, the logistics, and all of that. So I'm not going to trouble you with that. We have a couple of minutes before our time is up. I would like to ask you 2 last questions, please, Angus. Let me just,
yes, sir.
And I hope that the time will permit us. I'm going to ask you a difficult question, but I'm going to do it in any event. When you greeted me, you said that I know that you do not compromise. Now, we live in a different time, Angus. And if you know me, and we start speaking about the nitty-gritty of our faith and our understanding of what God is up to, what his plan is, how he looks at people, etc., etc., it may be that you and I differ regarding certain points. So what is the definition
of compromise. Because I can almost certainly say that we're not going to agree on everything, because you have your perspective and I have, and we are all in a relationship with the living God. And we see only what we see as limited. We don't have the full vision. We don't have the full picture. We stay humble. So what does compromise mean? Because that does, sometimes it feels like, okay, so who are these people that are out and who are the people that are in? And shouldn't we just look at one another in a different way and say, if you have a heart for Jesus, come.
Yeah, that's it. That's how, well, you've answered your own question. And that's the bottom line. I know we don't agree on everything, Yanni. You like to ride Harley Davidsons. I like to ride horses. But we still love each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You look like a hippie. I look like a cowboy. But we still agree on the same thing. We serve the same Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm making a joke. But, Yanni, I want to be honest with you. That is the common denominator that I have with you, Yanni Pelsa. I know one thing about you. You love Jesus Christ. I've been to your church. I've been to your meetings. And I think you can hopefully give me that credit that I love Jesus Christ so much. I'm prepared to be abused. I'm prepared to be misquoted. I'm prepared to be whatever it takes to stand up for the Master. And he warned us about that. You know, if you come after Jesus, you must expect these things. So the word compromise is not to stand up for what you believe in. Okay. So I believe, Revelation 3:16, the Lord says that, I would rather you be ice cold than lukewarm.
Amen.
If you're lukewarm, I will spew you. He actually says, vomit you out of my mouth, the New King James Version. What he's saying is, I'd rather you be an unbeliever than a lukewarm Christian. Okay, so now we're coming back to compromise again. So what I'm saying to you, I can agree to disagree and still love you, Yanni. Okay?
Amen.
You might not like the way in which we conduct, I know you do, by the way, but you might not like the way in which we conduct our open air meetings. Okay? But some people don't like me wearing a hat. They always say to me, why do you wear a hat all the time when you come into God's house? I said, because if you were a Jew, you would not be allowed into the synagogue without a hat, if you want to get technical about it. Okay. They don't like that, but that's the truth. I wear a hat because I preach outside, and it's something I enjoy doing. You wear long hair because you enjoy wearing long hair, and that's okay. It's not a problem. Jesus had long hair. All I'm saying to you, Yanni, there are certain things which I will not compromise on, okay? And the first one is Jesus Christ is Lord. Finished. He's not one of the Lords, and I know you believe that. I also believe in the Holy Trinity. Anybody who comes to me and says that they don't believe in the Holy Trinity, I have nothing to do with them because we're not speaking. That's what I'm talking about. I won't compromise on that.
Amen.
Okay. God hates divorce, but people get divorced. So what happens? We repent, we say sorry, we don't do it again, and we move on. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say to you. Abortion is legalized murder, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't know what your take is on that one, but I want to tell you something now. If a young girl, and that's happened, eh? Not once, my boy, comes to me and is broken, suicidal, oh, Angus, I did something terrible. I had an abortion. I was forced to. What do I do now? Am I condemned? Am I going to hell? No, you're not going to hell. What you do is you say sorry to God, you repent, and you never ever do it again. And then we move on. That's how it is. Otherwise, Angus Buchan would be the first in the list going to hell. Because I'm a sinner saved by grace. Finished.
So we all are sinners saved by grace, and we are so thankful towards God. Thank you, Uncle Angus Buchan. It's always a privilege to speak with you and that we can have an open conversation. I also believe in the unity that we have in our confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, that there's no way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And as we on a Sunday confess, I believe in God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all of that.
Amen.
The church in South Africa is fighting about so many things. Whilst people are dying of hunger, they live in disgraceful circumstances. There's no employment. The prophetic voice of the church is gone, speaking to government, speaking to institutions. But we are fighting against things, and we are using God's resources, time, finances, energy, etc., to fund that which is not part of God's agenda. This is my take on this. And unless we can get together, find common ground and say that this nation is going downhill, unless we rediscover the grace of God
in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And he reveals himself anew to us like he did with Elijah. You mentioned Elijah, and he said the one that sends the fire, that one is God. May God send the fire. We are, as far as I'm concerned, not busy sometimes with what is on God's agenda. Nevertheless, may the 24th indeed be what God has placed in your heart and in the hearts of many, many people believing God for a change in this nation. May he bring a healing. May he bring reconciliation. May he bring unity. Amen. May he bring repentance. May he bring revelation and everything that we desperately need in this nation. And may God use you, Angus, in a mighty and a wonderful way, as he always does. Because you are available and you are teachable and you are humble. And so may God really use you in a wonderful way. And may all the arrangements just simply go very smoothly. And I know that the devil is not happy with this, but he hasn't got any say.
Yanni, thank you so much. That's very kind of you. Yanni, do we have any time left or is time up?
I've got 2 minutes.
You've got 2 minutes. I want to just share with you. Do you remember we went to Mitchell's Plain? Probably the most dangerous place on the continent of Africa. 9 men a day getting murdered there in gangsterism. Yeah. And I went back there after the meeting and it was raining and Cape Town had water to drink and the dams filled and God was glorified. And the one guy said to me, one of the local residents, he said, now you're going to get on the aeroplane, fly back to your farm and go and have some tea with Tunny Jill. And you're going to leave us here in this inferno. I got very cross, eh?
Yeah.
Very cross. I said to him, why don't you get on the plane and come with me? I said, because we see more bloodshed than you've ever seen in your life. And this guy got quiet. I said, we got farm murders all around us. Is that going to stop us from preaching the gospel? Is that going to stop us from lifting up the name of Jesus? Is that going to stop us from believing for miracles? And he went so quiet. So I want to say to you, we are coming from a position where we are in the trenches, like you, Yanni, with the people. We're not sitting on top in a white ivory tower somewhere overseas saying, go for it, boys. We are here, we're in amongst it, and we are going for it, and Jesus Christ will be glorified.
Amen. Amen, Uncle Angus. Thank you once again for this wonderful time with you. And we look forward to the 24th. We'll be there. And as I've already said, may God do a wonderful work. And thank you again for being available and sharing with us. It's been a wonderful privilege to speak with you.
Thank you so much, Jenny.
Dit is my voorreg om te gesels met Jolanda Steyn. En ons gaan 'n bietjie lekker saamkuier oor hierdie baie groot geleentheid wat gereël word vir die 24ste September in Kreersdorp, waar Angus Buckham sal optree as die gasprediker en daar 'n hele klomp mooi dinge is wat gebeur. Jolanda, baie welkom en dankie dat jy die tyd inruim om saam met ons te kuier.
Baie, baie dankie, Dominee Jannie. Dis regtig 'n voorreg om saam te kuier vanoggend.
Jolanda, die agtergrond vir hierdie geleentheid, hoe het dit nou alles begin? 'n ding val nie sommer net uit die lug uit nie. En vertel vir ons, hoe het, en ek het verneem dat jy eintlik die, jy is eintlik die een wat die ding, die proses aan die gang gesit het. Vertel vir ons daarvan, en wat daartoe aanleiding gegee het.
Dankie, Dominee Jannie. Op 'n stadium in Junie maand, was my hart net verskriklik seer vir ons dorp. Ek doen paardeterapie en in daai maand het ek net mense gesien wat regtig vasgevang is. Ek het profete gesien, sielkundiges gesien, eintlik mense van alle verskillende agtergronde, jong mense, ek het 'n hart vir jong mense. En ek het net een oggend met my stilte tyd, toe sit ek vir God, by God se voete en ek vra vir hom, ek verstaan dit nie. Ons opdrag is eintlik om meer mense na die koninkryk toe te bring, want daar's so baie mense wat reeds om aangeneem het as redder en saligmaker, maar hulle sit vas. Ek het gewerk met jong tieners wat hulle self sny, kinders wat wil selfmoord pleeg, en dis eintlik hoekom ek uitgeroep het na God, en ek het hom gevra, wat is die antwoord? Ons almal probeer so hard om 'n verskil te maak, spesifiek in ons dorp, maar dit lyk nie vir my asof dit beter gaan nie. En in my stilte tyd daai oggend het God net vir my gewys om te sê, daar is soveel vesting, soveel strongholds in Kreersdorp. En ons moet begin saam staan in Kreersdorp om ons grondgebied weer terug te kry, sodat Kreersdorp bekend kan staan as Jesus dorp. En ek het daai oggend het ek opgestaan, dit was die 22ste Junie, en ek het opgestaan en ek het 'n e-pos kom tik vir hom Angus. Ons luister elke oggend in ons huis, ek en my man Dani, luister ons na the thought of the day wat hom Angus uitstuur. En dan van daar stuur ek het weer uit na klomp mense wat op my netwerk is. So dit voel al asof hom Angus maar deel is van ons huishouding. Dit het ons gevoel asof ons hom persoonlik ken en daai boodskapies van elke oggend is so perfek. Dis amper asof dit gekies is vir ons. En Heilige Gees het my net gelei en ek het besluit ek stuur vir my e-pos briefie om my op te vra. Ek maar op die 1 Julie het hy my geantwoord en gesê Jolanda, ek voel ook hierdie is van God af. Vra jou intercessorspan om te bid. Ek vra my intercessorspan om te bid. En maandag sal ek vir jou antwoord gee. So noodloos om te sê, die beste ding wat ek kon doen, nadat ek die WhatsApp vir die intercessors gestuur het, was om weer stil te word en by God te gaan hoor, is dit sy hart? Help my om te weet, hierdie kom van hom af. En dit was 'n ongelooflike visioen wat God vir my gegee het. Ek het stil geword. Ek weet nie hoe lank dit geduur het nie. God het my opgevat in die hemel in 'n visioen en hy het vir my Kreersdorp se boekrol kom wys. En op die boekrol het daar gestaan herlewing, revival. En van daar af was dit ongelooflik. Die Sondagoggend terwyl ek in 'n erediens was, toe speel die liedjie I Speak Jesus. En net daar die Heilige Gees vir my gesê Jolanda om Angus gaan sê ja en hy gaan revival plaasvind in Kreersdorp. En min het ek geweet daai oggend dat die tema gaan wees I Speak Jesus. Ons het dit eers na die tyd gehoor. So ons dien 'n amazing groot God. Ek het vir iemand gesê in verlede week my geloof het al gegroei van 'n mosterdsaadjie tot 'n aardappel. It's five like potatoes van oom Angus.
Nou ja, ek kan dink dat daardie e-pos sy hart beweeg het en dat die Here ook daardeur gewerk het. So, ek gesels nou met Jolanda Stein en ons gesels oor die bijeenkomst van die 24ste September. So, Jolanda, geef vir ons 'n bietjie van die logistieke inligting. Ons het nou die datum en dis nou hierdie jaar, ons moet nou dit nie misloop nie, dit gaan hierdie jaar wees. En wat ons weet, dit is Kreersdorp, maar kan jy vir ons nader besonderhede gee asseblief?
Baie dankie. So dit gaan plaasvind by die kruising van die N14 en die R28. Dis 'n ongelooflike mooi perseel. Dit vorm 'n natuurlike amfitheater. So die verhoog gaan gebou word en die mense gaan opsit teen die koppies. Hulle noem die gedeelte van die N14, noem hulle ook die Holy Highway. Daar ons het profesie ontvang van 32 jaar terug. Daar gaan ook vier ingangsroetes wees, mense moet regtig nie bekommerd wees daaroor nie. Op die dag gaan daar baie persone wees wat rigting gaan aanwys. Ons het vier verskillende kleerroetes, dit is ook op die Angus Buckham website. Ons kan julle net aanbeveel, kom dalk vroeg, ons verwag baie mense, ons verwag menigtes. Dis 'n gratis bijeenkomst, dis 'n gratis gebedsgroep wat ons gaan doen. Daar is nie kaartjie verkope nie, so ons kan nie presies sê hoeveel mense kom nie, maar weet net, julle is so welkom die dag te kom. Die N14 kruising, die R28 kruising, is op die hoek waar Cradlestone Mall is,
ja.
En Pine Haven Hospitaal. So ek denk daai baken sal julle baie help.
Nou, die verrigtinge, hoe laat begin dit formeel amptelik, alhoewel die uitnodiging is dat mense al vroeg sal kom, want met vorige bijeenkomste het die mens achtergekom, jy ry nie, parkeer en loop nie, en jy is daar nie. Jy moet 'n bietjie geduld aan die dag lê, en so ons moet ook vra dat die Here vir mense groot stuk geduld sal gee, maar hoe sal mense dan nou nie hee vir so geleentheid nie?
So heel amptelik begin ons 12:00 met die program. Voor die tyd gaan daar praise and worship musiek wees, daar gaan bands wees, so daarom beveel ons maar mense aan om vroeg te kom.
Van 12:00 tot 4:00. Nou, as iemand dit nou gaan bywoon, dan moet hy nou nie sommer net hier in 'n heerlike Wesrand son dag daar opdaag en hy is nou nie voorbereid nie. So wat sou jy aanbeveel moet mense saambring?
Baie beslis 'n sonhoed en sonskerm. Mense is welkom om hulle eie piknikmandjie te pak. Daar gaan nie kosverkope wees op die dag nie, so mense moet asseblief selfvoorsiening maak. Pak genoeg water in, pak genoeg koeldrank in. Ons is baie dankbaar vir die wysheid en die insig vir mense wat betrokke by ons geraak het. Ons was aanvanklik 8 mense wat afgegaan het om oom Angus te gaan sien by Shalom. So daai 8 van ons goed werk mos in multitudes en multiplication. So ons is nou al 'n span van so 65 wat saam werk. Dis almal soos die liedjie sê, I'm just a nobody. So nie een van ons het ervaring behalwe die Shalom kant van dit nie.
Jolanda Stein, baie baie dankie ook vir hierdie initiatief, vir jou gehoorsaamheid. Baie sterkte vir jou en vir die span met al die reëlings wat in plek moet kom. Ons wil glo en vertrou en bid ook daarvoor dat die Here die geleentheid van die 24 September op die kruising van die N14 en die R28, dat hy dit op 'n kragtige wyse sal gebruik en dat dit Suid-Afrika en sal bydra om Suid-Afrika in 'n nuwe rigting te stuur, dat daar genesing sal kom vir ons land, vir ons mense, vir die mense van Mogale City en dat dinge inderdaad daarna op 'n nuwe manier sal plaasvind. Sterkte, seënwense vir jou en vir die hele span.
Baie, baie dankie, Dominee, en as ek mag vra, al die intercessors daar buite, ons almal se gebede word verhoor, as mense asseblief vir ons kan bid, vir hierdie groot revival. Ons glo, dit is waar die vuurtjie aangesteek word vir herlewing in Kreeusdorp, maar ook vir Suid-Afrika. Baie, baie dankie vir die besonderse voorreg en die geleentheid om met Domie te kan gesels en met die luisteraars.
Ja, baie dankie nogmaals aan broer Angus Bakken en ook natuurlik Jolandi Stein wat hard werk om hierdie groot bijeenkomst van die 24 September dig by Kreeusdorp op die kruising van die N14 en R28 'n werklikheid te maak. Mag die Here ook dit gebruik soos soveel ander initiatiewe reg oor Suid-Afrika om ons op 'n nuwe traject te bring, 'n plek van genesing, 'n plek van, en ek het dit alles genoem ook in my gesprek met hom, nie waar nie. Ons het baie uitdagings in Suid-Afrika, maar die Here is steeds op die troon, en ons is meer as oorwinnaars, deur hom wat vir ons die krag gee. Mag hy verheerlik word. Baie dankie, nogmaals vir jou inskakel, tot 'n volgende keer, alles wat mooi is.